he was here last year, and we've had the pleasure of doing some history workshops together. He's worked closely with Chris and Boyd and been part of preserving the message. And something that's interesting about Francis is that he's actually was a part of a committee, a history committee, that was tied to the service structure. And that's something that, I don't know, they may have made history in the fact that they have a history and archives committee that was tied to the service structure. So, done a lot of work on history and knows the history of our fellowship as well as anybody. Mo had an idea because of Francis's passion for the stories and the connection to Bill Brooks to this area. Had an idea that Francis come and do a presentation on Bill Brooks, and so Francis has been working on that ever since, and we're looking forward to see what he's come up with. So without further ado, we give you Francis C. from Northern California. Woo! Yeah.
You know, our whole life is singing and centered in drugs in one form or the other. Beginning and using and finding ways and means to get more. We used to live and live to use. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing aggressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death.
That was Bill at the Third World Literature Conference 45 years ago. We are in the anniversary of the Third World Literature Conference where they produced the first draft of the basic text. So he was at that conference. I accidentally clicked that. Well, here's a shameless plug for one of our most recent episodes. We dropped this episode rolling into this convention. For more information, check out the episode on the Living Clean podcast. That's not an endorsement. That's just a whatever plug.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I just don't tell Nas that we're when we presented in Tupelo. I have a slide that said Living Clean PowerPoint. Like Mason was saying, we met at the World Convention, and when I was new, I had a sponsor that pointed me to stories. You know, like I struggled as a young person in Narcotics Anonymous identifying with all these old fuckers, and then he pointed me to a story called It Won't Get Any Worse, and I'm like, wow, there's like people that get clean as teenagers, and I was 25. You know, I'm like, I wonder who these people are. And then there was, I struggled with religion, and then he pointed me to the atheist story in the fifth edition basic text. And so, like, I engaged in reading these stories, and I just was really curious about who these people were, and or are, and so it kind of set me off on a quest, and this is a part of the quest, right? And I meet Mason, 5 years ago, I was I'd been tracking these authors for a while, and not really knowing why I was doing it. I'm like, I wonder who they are. I'd get on Facebook and I'd talk with people and I'd figure stuff out and I'd write their name in my book. And then I ended up with a spreadsheet and a Word document where I'd capture pictures and put it in here and, you know, that kind of, like, I'd go to a convention and then I'm like, this is one of the authors in the basic text, you know, like I'd figure it out. And then when it came time for the convention, for the COVID, the pandemic, and we all went to Zoom, like, this is why I've been obsessing on this. And so we had this meeting on Zoom where I was able to program these authors that I figured out onto Zoom. And then one of the episodes we did where I had Ryan and Grover and and several other people that knew Bill Brooks. It was called Remembering Bill Brooks. And there's some of that 5 years ago episode is on the podcast in here. So I just want, like, if you want to know more about it and hear stories about Bill Brooks, it's on a recent episode. And so when I meet Mason and we start talking, you know, like, the first thing I knew is that about Bill Brooks is he was from Alabama, and I thought Mason was from Tennessee, but he's like, oh, I'm the vice chair of a convention in Decatur. And I'm like, isn't Bill Brooks from Decatur? He's like, yeah, I'm in the Bill Brooks sponsorship family. And I'm like, I have to go to that convention. You know, like, I have to go enter into this story. The story happens in Decatur, Alabama. You know, like, he starts the first meeting here. You know, like, this is the story in the basic text. And so last year I come here, I guess I will get into, I come here and I get picked up at the airport, and Mason takes me to this amazing meeting called Open Minds and Miracles. And I think Chase might have been there, and Douglas was there. And, you know, like, and we read the story, If You Want What We Have, Bill Brooks' story. Like, it was, and like, had that atmosphere. You know, like, it was dripping in time. You know, like, the vendors that are from Atlanta were there, and there's history in that story about Atlanta. And like, and they were in awe. You know, like, the atmosphere was crazy good, dripping with history at that. I'm like, oh my God. This is one of the best meetings I've ever had, was at Open Minds and Miracles, the Wednesday night meeting. I think the Saturday meeting was the one that was the first meeting, but I had a great time. And here's some pictures from that. So I'm just kind of sharing a little bit about my experience last year. I'm sure everybody's been to this meeting. This is your hometown. But like, what a gem of a place that, you know, like, that holds the history of this area in the United States. And what a gem of a story that holds the history of this part of the United States. So this is part of my little history quest. I found the address. Let me see if I could go forward to it. Nope. I'll come up on it. But this was the home of Bill Brooks as an adult. And it was in one of the world meeting directories from 1979, and it had his name in it, and it had this address. I knew about this, and I brought this address with me. I'm gonna go to Bill Brooks's house while I'm in Decatur. You know, like, so I went off on these different, like, I took off from the convention to go to Bill Brooks's house. You know, like, what kind of history nerd does that? So this is the house he grew up on. This is where he lived when he died. He lived here as an adult. They bought this house after the kids were born. This is the place, you know, like, there's a YouTube video with Bill Brooks in it that was taken on the back porch of this house. I was a little bit concerned about this Second Amendment rights and stuff like that when I was out in front of this house, being from California. I was looking for people to take me out on a history quest, and Shannon took me up on it, so he was my escort.
He's probably packing up.
He probably is too. Democrats have guns too. We just don't flaunt it like you. That was on Friday and Saturday. I couldn't find anybody to take me to the cemetery. Like, so I obsessed on this, like, Bill Brooks has to be buried around here. So I Googled all this stuff on my phone in the moment, and I found his grave nearby here in a cemetery. And one of the things I found out about is, like, it's set up in these different sections. And this is called the Garden of the Good Shepherd. And like, when I think about Bill Brooks, I think about him as kind of like the Good Shepherd of Narcotics Anonymous in this part of the country, in the South. So I eventually find his grave, and I'm sitting there kind of meditating right in front of this, and Mason calls me. What are you doing, buddy? Well, I'm sitting on top of Bill Brooks, and you know, I was just kind of like thanking him for his service, and like in awe that I get to experience this convention, these people, you know, like to go to a gravesite and thank him. When I left, I came across this section of the graveyard, and there were all these little white crosses, and I thought it was really just kind of interesting. And there was this guy out here that was painting the crosses, and he waved at me, and I waved back, and I decided to go down and talk to him. And he just, like this salt of this of the earth, you know, like guy that was painting the crosses, and he made the crosses, and they were baby crosses, you know, like they were anonymous babies that came from the hospital, and he decided that they deserved crosses. And I asked him if he had a baby out there, and he said no, but somebody needed to do this. And it was kind of like just like this feeling of, you know, like I was so grateful that there's people out there that are doing selfless service in the community, and that I got to witness it while I was hanging out with our good shepherd. And it was kind of cool. It was just like one of the coolest non-Narcotics Anonymous things I stumbled into. But it's what I aspire to be, you know, like through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, we can be an instrument of our higher power's will. And that's what that kind of reminded me of, is somebody doing God's work that isn't a member of this. Like, this is who I hope to be. Some, I don't even know his name. So, Bill Brooks was born on July 16th, 1933. Oh, well, I want to back up here. I noticed that Betty Banks was not here, is not here. She's not here. And while I was at the convention, I have the super secret stalker app that I make use of. And I found her number. Like, I punched in Betty Banks, and she's living down in Florida. And I talked to Bill's widow while I was at the convention. And I got to talk to his daughter Kathy, and he has a son named Billy Jr. And so this information, these photos, they all come from Kathy, his daughter. So in case you want to know where I got this from, and he was born in Coleman, Alabama, in 1933. My mom was born in 32, so you know, like he would be a year younger than my mom right now. I was exchanging texts with Kathy, and I was actually in the moment I was sending them to Mason and Chase, and they're like, oh shit, wow, right? And so this is about relationships and connection. JD was talking about connection when he was talking about Mad Dog Mike, like. I've made a connection with his daughter, and she's sending me these texts in the moment. And I had asked her, what kind of cancer did he pass from? And she said, well, around the age of 8, he was diagnosed with bone cancer. They treated him with sulfur and x-rays. Anyhow, he overcame it. My grandmother said that this case was written in the medical book because they cured him. That would have been in the early 1940s. Then in the middle of his 50s, he started with his bouts of cancer. He had prostate cancer, testicular cancer, kidney cancer, and finally non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was listed as his cause of death. He also suffered from psoriasis and on his skin, along with arthritis and gout. He was a trooper and rarely complained. He taught me how to live and how to die without fear. So here's some pictures of him in high school. He went to a military academy. He played football. Good-looking young Bill Brooks there. Here he is right here. Billy and Betty were 17 and 15 in this picture. Billy a senior in high school at the Military Academy, and Betty a sophomore. They eloped in 1952. So all the typos that she sent me are just cut and pasted in here. So these are the text typos. Toluca, Mississippi, this is the closest thing they have to a wedding picture. So they eloped. Here's a picture of his senior picture. This is in the paper. Graduates from Columbia Military Academy. How far is Columbia from here?
Hour?
All right. Here's a wedding announcement. I found this stuff recently. Here's a picture of Betty her senior year. And then I asked her, I found a newspaper article and mentioned the Grant Street house. It says the Grant Street house was his mother's. He never lived there growing up. But mother and daddy lived there a couple of years with her after they got married. They moved out of the apartment when I was born. So they were talking about he lived there after his father passed away, and then his Betty and Bill lived at this Grant Street house. And when he started having babies, they got their own apartment. And so here's the house. Uh-oh, it didn't get in there.
Good.
Well, the quest today, we went out to breakfast to Cracker Barrel. Mason likes to take me to Cracker Barrel every time I come to the South. I'm like, hey, we got to go by this place. And so me, Mason, and Kayla went to this place and took a picture in front of it today. But when it shut down, it didn't save. And so we didn't get the pictures in, I guess. This was the birth announcement of their first child, John William Brooks III. And then, Kathy was telling me, this was a big deal because it meant there were four great grandmothers living at the time when this baby was born. And they came from kind of like an upper class. The great grandmothers were, high society Southern ladies or whatever, and so they wanted to be mentioned. But when we get to the daughter, this was her comment on this. Ha ha, no name, no weight, no time. That is what I get for being second born. No name because so this was explaining how she was born, but she wasn't made that big of a deal in the newspaper as her brother. This was kind of a great story that I found. I found this, and it talks about Bill rescuing a three-and-a-half-year-old boy from a swimming area, right? It says that he stepped on him, and he went down and pulled him out, and his lips were blue, and they did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So this is Kathy explaining what happened in the text. Yes, we called it Hatfield Lake, but it was the same place. We did save him. We often wondered what happened to him. The mother came to AA after time. I only once, as far as I know, we know. She told Daddy she was drunk in the changing room, and the little boy went out ahead of her and got in the water over his head. God puts us where he needs us. Needs you at the time. I guess that we shouldn't say that part because it would be breaking her anonymity, but I thought you would find this little circle of life interesting. So the little boy's name is in here, and I went into my app and I found him, and I was texting with him. And so what it turned out was that his mother passed away sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill saved this little boy, and he 12-stepped the mother, who died sober. So he saved two people this day. Maybe not this day, but He saved her. Here's the thing in the that I'd found that led me to Summer Lane. Did you know a woman named Rosemary? Yes, we remember Rosemary. She was also in AA. Mother said she had a hard time staying sober because drugs were really her problem. She finally made it. I believe she was living in Georgia with her family when she passed sober. God is good. She's in a, like Bill mentions her in an audio clip towards the end of this presentation, but she also died clean, and she was one of the founding members of Open Minds and Miracles. Here's a clip. This is also from the Third World Literature Conference.
Thank you. I'm still young.
Things I would just want to say about this story is, like, if you're interested in Narcotics Anonymous history, there's a lot of great history in the stories if you know how to read it. And Bo Sewell did write a story, and it wasn't included in the basic text. And it's kind of like some of the policies we have around, like Mason. Somebody asked Mason if he was going to present with me, and he said, no, I'm the convention chair. Like, members of the committee don't share at the convention. And so the board of trustees, they shut Bo's story down, and because they didn't think it was appropriate for the World Literature Conference chairperson to have his story in the basic text. And but what I could say is that if you know the history, this is the story that gives Bo Sewell a nod for, like, helping with the beginnings of Narcotics Anonymous in this area. So, as I learned the history of the basic text and the history of this area, this story is a shout out to Bo. So, and Bo, I don't know if people know who Bo is, but we wouldn't have a basic text without Bo. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's the gentleman from Marietta, all that stuff. And right now he's in assisted living. He's suffering from dementia. We may not have him for that much longer, but this story is great in relationship to giving a nod to the guy that got us the book. And I just encourage anybody to read it. And then it includes Mike. When I came here last year, I brought my basic text with me, and I was sure to get Mike to sign where he's mentioned in my book. And I'm super grateful that I got that.
Mo's also the guy that told him he loved him, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's some pictures that I had collected. This one was taken, and we put like turned into a cartoon for the podcast. Here he is with Motorcycle Ed. Here he is with Grover. Grover is a young man. You listen to the podcast, you'll hear Grover talking about him, some good stories. Here he is with Joseph Proctor. And Joseph, like, so we know Bill as kind of like the founder of Narcotics Anonymous in Alabama. Joseph started the first meeting in Memphis. And so, like, they are founding members. Joseph was very integral in getting the basic text printed, and Memphis, like Memphis isn't that far from here, became a hub of printing in for the basic text. Super important part of our history, Memphis. We're in the history of Memphis right now. This guy, I just found this, Tim posted this, but this is Tim Stewart. And he's the archivist from Mid-America region. And then we recently did a Preserving the Message YouTube clip, and he participated in that for the first World Literature Conference. There's a picture of Bill and his wife Betty as he was closing in on the end of his life. I found this first. And this is how I actually found his grave. There's like this... I think it's called Grave Finders, but like this is what like was how I found him. This is the obituary that was in that app, and then his daughter sent me this. I was super grateful for this. Yeah, and it like I have a newspaper search engine, and they don't have some newspapers in this, so this wasn't in that in my app, but it, like his daughter saved the obituary. This was a dedication to Bill Brooks by Open Minds and Miracles Group of NA. Turns out there was a recording of this, and Kathy has it, and she's mailing me the cassettes. And so I'm going to digitize these, and then I'll probably be sharing it with Ryan and some other people. So that hopefully that'll be made available to you guys if you want to hear this. And there was like a tape of Bill isms, like what Bill said. Yeah, like, and I'm kind of interested in hearing the Bill isms that people say. Some of the Bill isms are God loves you, and so do I.
Go back a couple of pictures ago, if you don't care.
There was one more clip. I guess it's not in it.
The guy on the far right, Bob Burns. He's my first cousin.
This guy? This one?
Another right. Yeah.
The bald guy?
Yep.
Oh, I thought that was Tim Stewart.
No.
Okay.
I know for damn sure that's Bob Burns.
Well, then I'm wrong.
The guy next to him is from Huntsville. I can't remember his name. And that's Bill. Now, the guy on the left is Tab.
Is that Tab?
It damn sure is.
Okay.
So, we cleared up a couple of mysteries for you.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, the last audio clip's not here. But what I can say is that listen to the podcast. There's an audio clip in the podcast that tells a story about a guy named George. And it alludes to the title of this convention, Out of the Darkness into the Light. But I can also tell you that in the story of Bill Brooks, it speaks to him saying a prayer that brings him out of the darkness into the light. And so I suspect the naming of this convention of Out of the Darkness into the Light, like the story in the basic text leans into Out of the Darkness into the Light. That's all I have. God loves you, and so do I. And if,
great job.
And Ryan, God loves you, and I'm trying to. And I'm trying to love you. I don't know what that was. But you retell a story all the time where he says that. Thank you.
If I don't know it, I might just get up.
Thank you, Francis.